was our 5-minute countdown. Never mind, we'll just skip that one.
Life is always fair.
I really enjoy repeating myself over and over again. I just love when the kids talk back to me. I don't care if you get a job this summer. I don't care if you get detention.
I can't open this jar. See if Mom can open it. Just take your time in there, okay?
No means maybe.
Hey, why don't you bring that ball inside and play with it?
Hey, don't put that back where you found it. Just leave it on the floor.
Ew, bacon.
If you put a dent in the car, it's really no big deal.
It's 10 a.m. Go back to bed.
Look, whatever your friends are doing, just do the exact same thing.
I got more than enough sleep last night.
If your friends are okay with it, then I'm okay with it.
Stop signs are just a suggestion.
You don't need a chaperone.
You don't need a seatbelt.
You don't need a savings account.
You should buy the jeans with the holes in them.
Hey, we're all going to go to church, but you can just sleep in, okay?
Can we please just hang out in here for another 10 minutes?
Hey, can we get some more bickering back there?
All right, bills!
Yay, traffic!
Woohoo, taxes!
Yes!
Laundry!
Hey, can you kids come in here and jump on my bed?
Quick, go tell Mom what happened right away.
You don't need to finish your dinner. Hey, look at your phone when I'm talking to you.
I wish I had a smaller TV.
We got you that phone for a reason. Texting boys.
All right, everyone, listen up. Mom and I are going out of town this weekend, so please mess up the whole house while we're gone. Please throw a few parties while we're gone. Please forget about the dog entirely while we're gone. Hey, when you're finished pouring that, can you just leave it out on the counter all day? Thanks.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm gonna bungee jump out of this tree.
That's a really good idea.
Yep. Oh. Well, happy Father's Day again. You're going to have to forgive me. I need my water today. I'm a little scratchy in my throat today. Yes. So, all right. Well, we have our prayer time today. And today we are going to be talking, we're going to be praying over our core value of multiplication. We'll be praying for Hartville Assembly, Hartville Life 360 Church, with Pastor Gary and Cindy McGinnis. We'll be praying. Missions focus of the week is the chaplaincy ministry. I have some experience with that whole ministry aspect from my military days, then our local church is going to be Warden Chapel here in Conway. Little note on chaplaincy ministries: there's more than just military chaplains out there. There's a chaplain for a lot of different things out there. So biker, like Christian biker groups, not gangs groups, they have chaplains. What's that? Christian Cowboys has chaplains. And we've got chaplains for EMS. And we got chaplains for hospitals. And we have chaplains. They're everywhere. There's chaplains, man. You can find them anywhere. It's great. So I want to... When we pray for that, I really want us to focus in on praying for our chaplains who are considered to be U.S. missionaries, but many of them end up serving overseas with some of our service members and things like that. So, will you stand and pray with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that we can gather here together in this place, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, God, that our hearts can connect with you, God. We pray for the multiplication of our church, not just in numbers, but Lord, that we would multiply the healthiness of our own discipleship. We pray for multiplications in leaders and in any campuses that Life 360 could reach out to. Lord, we pray that we would be a part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Lord, we pray for Life 360 Hartville today out there with Pastor Gary and Cindy McGinnis. Lord Jesus, you've blessed their church in so many ways. They have paid off their building. They are doing wonderful, amazing things out there, Lord. Their church has been just growing like crazy, and I thank you that you've blessed them in that way. Lord, I pray for our missions focus this week, all of our chaplains. whether they be in a hospital or they're out on the road with truckers or wherever they are serving in the military at home or abroad, Lord, I pray that you would be with our chaplains, that very, very special calling that few get. Protect them, Lord. Keep them safe. And have them be amazingly effective, despite some very difficult circumstances they find themselves in. Lord, I also pray for Warden Chapel, this place that's just down the road from my house, God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be with their church and their congregation and help them to continue to connect with you and to reach our community for you, Jesus. In your name, amen. All right.
You got this.
Daddy!
You got this.
A hug might be a good...
You got this.
Come on! You got this! You got this.
Dear Jesus.
You got this.
I want to invite you into my heart.
I think he needs
it. You got this.
You didn't think I was going to end that on a tear, right? Anyone else tear up on that one? Oh. Are you okay? Yeah, I was thinking of her too. That was the goal, no dry eyes. So, all right, kids camp. Someone else should be doing this. You want to do announcements for me? Come on, please. Now, we don't have disciple makers this week. Okay, there you go.
Okay. So, we have kids camp happening in July. $210 for camper, $40 for volunteer. The ages for kids camp is 8 to 13 or 12? 12? 8 to 13. This is the last Sunday for you to sign up, so sign up if you want to do it. Disciple Makers is not happening today, but because, you know, it's Father's Day, and we have to celebrate our fathers. Because dads are awesome. And but whenever we do have Disciple Makers, they're every Sunday but first Sundays at 6 p.m. in the Bear's Den. Or you can stream online with the Church Center app with the app group card code on the screen. I can't speak today. And next is Acts 2 Journey, which is a spirit-empowered. It is about what are these things? We have it every first Sunday. From the month of April to August at 6 p.m. in the Bear's Den. That's what we do on our first Sundays instead of Disciple Makers. And the next would be Distribution Day, which is happening June 19th at... Y- yeah, this Thursday at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And there are no requirements. Wow. And it's open for everyone. And also, why don't you have the Church Center app? Get it. Seriously. Why don't you have it yet? Come on. Okay. What's next? Oh. Go away.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Go away. Go away. You know what? I was just thinking, and as I was sitting there, we were praying. You're still crying. Oh, laughter? Okay. You know what I was thinking as I was sitting here, we were praying about multiplication and about people, you know, stepping up and doing ministry and things like that. And my daughter is like, I got this. And I'm like, you got this. Like, come on. So anyway, we just pulled off multiplication there. Woohoo. So if you guys are interested in joining any aspect of ministry or God is calling you to do something in the church, I want to hear about it. We're a small church. I don't have like a formal sign-up board or like open positions available section of our website or something. So if you want to serve in the church in any capacity whatsoever, it's real easy. Just come talk to me. I am not scary. And I promise I don't bite hard. So I won't bite you. Yeah, you're different. You're already in ministry. I can bite you now. I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I don't bite volunteers. Oh, darn. I've lost everybody. Seriously, if God is calling you to do something, or you got some skills and talents and things like that that you want to use for the Lord, if you got time and energy and you want to use it to help support the church and what we're doing, just come talk to me. Seriously. I'm not going to make you sign up a bunch of papers or, like, pull a tag. I went to one place, they had a big old church they had back in the day. You remember the labels back in the day? My parents, back in the day, they had all these labels hung, and every time you went to church, you had to go over to this wall and pull your label off the wall. And that's how they took church attendance. And I was like, well, you could put, like, ministry opportunities up there, like, pull tabs, you know, like you see at the place. And I was like, yeah, we don't need that. We're personable people here, so just come talk to me. And if you're scared to talk to me, talk to Leah. She's much nicer. So, all right? Cool. Tithes and offerings is what we're going to do now. My daughter, Abigail, informed me that the QR code was way too small to scan, so I hope that's big enough now. The whole screen is what I need to make it, I guess. Anyway, if you are going to give online, you can scan that, or you can go to live360.org/giving, and you can give online there. Make sure you click on Conway. God is good financially with us and everything that's happening. On the back table back there, I've started putting a new thing on there, and every month we get a statement from Assemblies of God headquarters of all the missions giving that we have given towards our missionaries. And I put that back there because I want you all to see what is happening with our giving. I am one of those guys. I love transparency in the church. So if there's ever any questions about finances or anything like that, please come talk to me. I have no problem sitting down and working through the budget with folks and things like that, showing you how it's all set up, and then you look at it and you go, this is weird, and I go, let's fix it. So we have that ability. We are nimble as a small church. We can be very nimble, and that's a good thing. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you've provided for us. You are our Father provider. And Lord God, you keep us. Lord, everything we have is yours. You ask us to honor you with our tithes and our offerings, God. And I thank you for everyone who is faithful to that call, to that ministry, to that worship. that trust you, God. And Lord, I pray for everyone that they will be blessed as you promised in their giving. In your name, amen. All right, Elizabeth with a bucket. She's a little excited today, I think. That's called a bumper. Did you know that? We are starting our brand new series called Tailor Made, Putting on the Full Armor of God. Today we're going to be discussing the belt of truth. And we're going to have scripture that I didn't write up there. I'm sorry. things on the computer side of things are a little lacking today because I've been very busy this week. And things have happened this week, so sorry, but we will be in the book of Ephesians, and it's going to be chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, so if you want to have that on standby, you can. We're starting this new series, and it's called Tailor Made, like I said. God has created armor for all of us. And it's not one size fits all. Did you know that? It's not one size fits all. So, have you ever thought about the armor of God that way? When we read the text about the armor of God, you're like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, you guys like remember that from kids' church or Sunday school growing up, learning about it. There's tons of songs about it and things like that. I thought about like doing like this whole kids church like thing along with it, but then I went, no, it's Father's Day. Let's make it epic. And so, this is the way I went. So, like I said, we're going to be spending our time in this whole series. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 18. But I want you all to recall something with me. Our last series, we were talking about the letters that Christ wrote to the churches in Asia Minor. Do you remember what the first church was? It was Ephesus. Absolutely. And guess what book we're in? Ephesians. So, we got a connection here, don't we? Do you guys remember what happened with the Ephesians? Do you remember what God said was good about the Ephesians? Remember that chart we had the last couple weeks of it? They were good at hard work and perseverance. What was their rebuke? Do you remember? They've forgotten their first love. And Jesus had told them to remember their first love and repent. You remember all that? Now, the book of Revelation was written in 95 AD. Okay? However, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, also known as the book of Ephesians, was written around 60 AD. So there's a 35-year gap in there. How many of you are younger than 35? That means you would have actually had an opportunity to grow up in the Ephesian church, never having received or heard Paul's letter as it had been sent. Only 35 years later to hear Christ's letter from the letter from Christ written by John to your church saying, hey, fix yourselves. So what happened in this 35-year timeline? Any ideas of what could have happened during this 35-year timeline? How do you get from, like, and I know we haven't read scripture on the armor of God yet and things like that, but I'm asking you guys to draw back into your Sunday school life and remember the talks about the armor of God or anything else you remember from the book of Ephesians. And yes, we will get into this, but I'm testing your knowledge this morning because I teach, and that's part of being a teacher is challenging you. And I'm challenging you today. What do you remember from the book of Ephesians that Paul said to do, or any aspect of the armor of God that Paul says for the people of Ephesus to put on? What of all of that do you remember? And how do we get to the point where God says you've forgotten your first love? Yeah, there's the breastplate of righteousness, but how do you get from all of Ephesus, all of Ephesians, to Revelations 2? Resist the devil. Okay. So you resist the devil. What happens if you resist the devil too much? Because maybe it's not the devil you're resisting anymore. You could get pride. What else? What else could infect a church like that? Yeah. Yeah, their inner relationships. Yeah. I know, I'm challenging all y'all. I'm making you scratch back into the memories here. See? Anybody else? All right. I'll help you out. So we're going to be reading about the Ephesians. And the Ephesians need to be strong in the Lord. Let me skip ahead. We're just going to read some of Ephesians, okay? I want to get you guys wrapped back into Ephesians, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works so that anyone can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. All right, so we got that one? Does that sound a little familiar? Okay, see, I'm getting us back caught up in Ephesus here, okay? Now we go on. Here's another good one. All right. Paul's writing this. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. All right? We should definitely talk about that another day. Ephesians 4:11-13 says this: So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Wait a minute. Did they miss someone there? Oh, the evangelists. They forgot to evangelize. They forgot to share their faith. Uh-oh, they're missing something here. Okay, let's go on. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here's another one. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. They forgot their first love, and they forgot to reach out to people. I mean, they can definitely, like, shine the light on the darkness, but they can't expose it, can they? Not really, especially if they're hiding somewhere, building themselves up. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Catch all that? I know I'm. You guys drinking much out of this fire hose? All right, here's some more. You ready? Here's the next one. Ephesians 5:21-6-4 says this: Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, before I continue on to this very controversial verse, what did it say? Submit to one another out of reverence for who? Christ. Okay? So, y'all ready? Wives, submit to yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And then it continues. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they fed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children! You're not out of this one, children. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You ready for a promise with a reward? Kids, you're the only ones that get promises with reward. Are you ready? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on earth. That's a good one for Father's Day, I think. Kiddos, did you hear that? Guess what? I'm a child, too. My father-in-law is right there. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Do you know what that word means? What does exasperate mean? Frustration. That's a good definition. Frustrate beyond belief. Now, who gets to decide? Who gets to decide what exasperation is? Bring them up in the training and instruction of who?
The Lord.
So who gets to judge exasperation?
The Lord.
Amen. I heard an amen. All right. Now, let me go back here. And I only want to read the first part here. I think it's a long way back. Sorry. Hold on. Wait. What's the first sentence? Submit to one another out of reverence for who? Christ. And then we get to everything else, don't we? Yeah. So what stands out? From all of what we just read, what stands out to you guys the most? To submit to God, okay. What else? Respect. Can I share a secret with you? Men, if you're married, your wives love to be loved. They want to be shown love beyond anything else. They want to be known. They want to know that you love them, not just in a word, but in your deeds and what you do. Women, the men in your life, your husbands, you can love them all day long. You could shower them with so much love. But if you don't respect him, you are lacking. A man can go his whole life without receiving a present from you in most cases if you respect him. And that may shock you. We got all these books like The Five Love Languages and all this other stuff. And that's good. You need to learn the love languages of your spouse and others and your kids and all that. But I'll tell you what. I don't get upset because my kids didn't give me a present or remember it's Father's Day. What I get upset about is if they disrespect me. Right? Okay, we catching on to that? It's this whole thing that makes a whole marriage is this love and respect thing. Here's the reality. Men, if you love your spouses and show love to them, the women will should, in turn, show you respect. Women, if you want to get more love out of your husband or boyfriend or other men in your life, you want to feel loved, show men respect. Because that's how, it's like a tree. Do you know what a tree breathes? A tree breathes our waste. We breathe in oxygen, which is what the tree produces, and we breathe out carbon dioxide, which is necessary for the tree to live. One of y'all is the tree, one of y'all is the person. So you got to breathe in and out, back and forth. Honestly, whenever I meet with couples and I'm doing marriage counseling or whatever it is, inevitably, I'm going to tell you right now, inevitably, one or both of the spouses started this whole thing. And it usually started either because there was some point where the wife stopped respecting the husband. Or at some point, the man stopped loving his wife. Okay? That was my segue today. My wife asked me how long it was going to be today, how long I was going to preach. And I said, it's Father's Day, and we don't have anywhere to be till 4, so I'm good till 3. I don't have any more planned segues. So after all of this, after all of what we just read, after all of what Ephesians has communicated to us, Paul has written to us and to the Ephesians at the church in Ephesus, he goes on to write this. And now we're in our scripture, okay? Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. He says this, finally, this is how you always, like when you're writing a paper and you do your points in your paper, you say, first, this happened, next, this happened, then this happened, and then finally. Finally is a wonderful word. Finally is the word you're waiting for me to say so that you can go to lunch. But it's not coming yet. But I'll read it. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Who does that include? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Wait a minute. You mean this whole armor thing is not meant for us to get political? No, it's not. Do you mean this whole armor thing is not for us to take out and like beat people with it? No, it's not. This is against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a spiritual armor for spiritual battle. Did you know that? Some of y'all are like, yeah, I knew that. Good. Well, that makes it easy. But some of y'all are like, I didn't know that. I thought all I had to do was go to Mardell and buy the plastic thing and put on the plastic. You've seen those, right? I'm not the only one that's seen that. I don't think we get those for kids' church anymore because the kids would just beat each other with the swords. All right, we go on. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, okay, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. So why do you think, given everything we talked about in Ephesians, everything that Paul has written them, and everything that I've helped you recall or whatever you recall from Sunday school, why do you think Paul wrote about the armor of God here in his letter? It's a possibility. Yeah. So it's protection. Okay. Yeah. 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 That's good. Yeah. Kind of wraps it all together. Can I commend you on that? That's exactly why. And here's my point. Whenever you see an apostle's letter, have you guys ever read an essay before?
Yeah.
Written an essay? Okay. Some of y'all have, some of y'all haven't. Maybe it's been a while for some of y'all. But do you remember how you would do, like I was talking about, you have a first point and a second point and a third point. What's the most important point? The first one, right? Right. It gets you hooked in. And then what ends up happening for the second and third points? You kind of gloss over it. You forget about it, really, a lot of times, right? Especially if you're grading a lot of papers, you're like, oh, come on, same thing over and over again. But anyway, I feel sorry for teachers some days because I've read some of their students' papers. And here's the thing. When you're writing a letter, it's not an essay. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So you can't read Scripture like an essay, can you? You have to read Scripture like a letter. So I kind of look at it like this. He's said all of this stuff in Ephesians so far. He's laid out this whole roadmap for the Ephesian church, and then he goes, finally, let me wrap it all together for you here at the end. Put on the armor. Well, I didn't know we had armor. You got armor. Well, where do I buy this armor? It's spiritual armor. What? I mean, can you hear someone like giving this for the very first time? Yeah. I mean, how many of y'all would be like super excited if y'all showed up and I said, all right, y'all, we need to put armor on today. We don't have armor, do we? There's no armor. Where's the armor? I mean, I'm thinking like back at Christmas time when we had the big tree here and the toys that were like everywhere for the giveaways. I'm like, could you imagine this is like armor laying out here? Like, all right, we're going to battle. We're going to go fight. We're going to take it to the Romans and take out everyone who's attacking us, right? And then the Ephesians may be sitting there going, all right, Paul, where's our armor at? Why haven't you sent it? No, it's his spiritual armor. And you can feel gypped. You can feel like you're getting cheated. You promised me armor. Well, I'm giving you better armor, spiritual armor. So why does he put it at the end? Why does he wrap it up? I mean, I'm dealing with all this stuff. I'm hearing about what I need to do with my family and everything else. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know what I really need for my house is I really need a switch. My kids, they need me to find a switch. And you know what a switch is. You know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about a switch? I ain't talking about the light switch. Back in the day, we used to tell our kids, go out to the yard and find a stick. And they'd come back with a little tiny thing. I said, that's not good enough. And then they'd come back with big ones. And I'm like, that's too big. You're not that bad. That worked pretty well, didn't it? Oh, good. Anyway. He's wrapping it all up saying, here's the thing. If you can find a way to have this armor in your life, then all of the other parts that we just talked about can happen. Okay? So, this series is on the armor of God. And that was my whole entire introduction to this series. And normally, I would do an introduction as its own message. And then we'd be praying and saying amen right now. And everyone would be like, yes, we get out early. But I'm not doing that today because of scheduling. And I'm trying to get at least one piece of armor in today. And guess what it is? It's the belt of truth. So we are talking about the belt of truth. We also have coming up next week the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes. We call them shoes now because anyway. The shoes of the gospel of peace, or the shoes of peace. That's what we tell the kids in kids' church, because that's how they equate feet. You don't walk around with just bare feet outside anymore, especially when you're wearing armor, right? All right. The shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the spirit, and one that will be revealed later. You're like, wait a minute. There's another one there. Yes, there is. One that we don't hit in kids' church. But guess what, y'all? We in big church here. So we're going to talk about that seventh one. Pretty cool, huh? And that'll be our last week. I'll reveal that in the last week. That's our secret one. In fact, if you read your Bibles, because it's not that big of a secret, I bet you can figure out what it is. Because y'all are pretty smart. So, I want to show you something. When Paul is talking about armor, what is he talking about? What kind of illustration is he trying to use, do you think? No. When he's trying to make a visual, like an analogy here, because he's using armor. Keep saying army. It's the 250th anniversary of the army yesterday. Yeah. Woohoo. Anyway, I was in the army, so. Anyway, when Paul is talking about the armor, who is he trying to have you think of? Yeah. You would think that, but they weren't all over the place, and they weren't all wearing all this stuff because they looked like that. That is what a Roman soldier, foot soldier, looked like at this time. And they only wore all of that gear when they were going out to battle. Yeah. Right. But here's the thing. It's like everyone knew what this looked like. Okay. Back to the army, okay? When you think of a soldier nowadays, what do they look like? What are they wearing? Camouflage. What else? Badges, yeah. Kevlar, they got body armor on. They got their helmets on. They got boots on. I'll tell you what, some of those boots are a big deal. What else? No, we don't do that no more. What else do they have? They have a weapon! Yes, thank you, finally. So, they have all of that. But here's a funny thing. We're talking about the belt today. But there's one problem. What is a soldier missing? Come on, guys. You can figure this one out. What is he missing clothing-wise? What do you put your belts on? Pants. He ain't wearing no pants. Yeah, he's wearing a tunic, but where are the pants?
I'm wearing a belt.
Where are his pants? I mean, we're talking about the belt of truth here today, and the man ain't wearing any pants. Well, of course he does. See, there it is. What do we use our belt for most of the time? What? Oh, no. I appreciate that, but no. Keep our pants up. That's what it's for. My boy comes out with pants, and I'm like, they're falling to your knees. Put a belt on. Why? You know what's interesting? You know what I found out? The Chinese, so we're talking about pants, right? The Chinese were the first ones to invent pants 600 years before Christ. 600 years before Christ, they created pants, which means from that point before, nobody had pants. You just wore robes. Anyone want to go back to that?
No.
I mean, ladies still do it. It's all formal now, though. They all wear their dresses. But the dresses were like the normal for men and women. They all wore tunics. What's that? Oh, we'd all have the legs for it. We would eventually. I mean, but here's the fun part. So pants started to make their way across Asia because we had this whole Silk Road thing going on. And they started making their way over to the Roman Empire. So here's the thing is like they knew about pants during Christ's time. The Romans knew about pants. But did you know that at that time pants were considered something very lowly? It's something the poor people wore. It's something that the dirty merchants from the East wore. They were very, very racist about their pants. They didn't want to wear pants because, ew, that is not the style. I mean, how many of you, if New York came out with a new fashion and men didn't wear pants anymore? Well, some men aren't wearing pants anymore, I guess. But anyway, if men didn't wear pants anymore, if it was like a thing, how many of y'all be like, I'm on board, no pants? What about, like, kilts? Kilts? You wouldn't even want to wear a kilt? Yeah, see, we got a kilt, man. There you go. They had undergarments, so it's not like it was a full breeze down there or anything. I did a whole study on pants. No, they had them. Trust me, they had them. Because when they stripped down Jesus and put him on the cross, he still had his undergarments. And I'm just saying, if Jesus wore undergarments, all y'all should be wearing undergarments. Be more like Jesus, please. All right? True Scots with kilts don't. Yeah, well, they weren't believers, I guess. all right, so here's another fun fact. What are the things we stick our belts through? What do you call those? Belt loops. When were belt loops invented? Okay, so we've discussed how belts are used to hold our pants up. Guess when that started? Because without belt loops, it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work. Belt loops were invented by the Levi Strauss Company in 1922.
What?
Overalls existed before belt loops. Suspenders were a thing. Yeah. All those cowboys wearing the blue jeans back in the day? No belt loops. Suspenders. So it took all the way up to 1922 to get us to the point where we now have this concept of what a belt does. And what we think a belt does is not at all what the belt was designed to do in the first place. Now, I am very thankful that the belt does that now. Because I'm not very flattering in suspenders. All right? But here we go. So we're back to our Roman soldier, right? Why would a soldier wear a belt? He doesn't have any pants to hold up. A quiver? They usually put that over their shoulders, but yeah. It's okay. All right, men, you ready? Ladies, men, what is on your belt? Huh? Oh, well, there is the belt buckle, but what else? Well, yeah, there's holes now, but I'm talking like we use our belts to carry things, don't we? So I decked out my belt today. Okay? So today, I don't know if you've noticed, I've got over here, I've got my multi-tool. I've got my knife. So I've got this whole setup here. I can go and I can fix a door hinge. I'm ready to go. I'm prepared. I got my tools. And then over here, I got my protection so that I can keep, you know, whatever happens there. I know. Pastor's got a weapon. I'm sorry. Pastor's packing today. Yes. So I'm doing this as an illustration, okay? This is an illustration. The soldiers wore their weapons on their belts. That's what it was for, to carry things around. Because guess what? God didn't give us more than two arms. We can't carry everything we need. So if you could stick it on a belt and tie it up to yourself, you know, because it looked like that. I typically bring a belt everywhere I go, Elizabeth. And here's the thing. Well, we'll talk later. Can I have a volunteer of the male persuasion? Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Be nice. All right. You can put this on for me, okay? Do you know how to put that on? No belt loops. No belt loops. Just around yourself. That's actually inside out. The brown goes out. Yeah, it's from a costume. Now what do you do? Yeah, there we go. Loop. You got to let it dangle. I'm not joking. Yeah. All right, well, we got the concept, right? So this thing is really long. Because guess what? They used to be that way. Now, here's the problem. If you're a shorter person and you got that long belt and it's dangling down there on your knee, that's not a good thing. So they'd give you a shorter belt. Now, if you're a bigger guy like me and you put it around your waist, you know, it only dangles down to like right there, maybe you need a bigger belt. Okay? So we got our model here, right? And so what would happen is you'd come along and they'd give you your sword. And so you'd take your sword and you'd put it on your belt, and your belt would hold your sword. And they'd give you a dagger. You put it on your belt. We could start giving all sorts, you know, handcuffs. A toothbrush, a walkie-talkie. You know, the Roman channels were wide open. Yeah, you got to have your shades. Maybe like a hook for your helmet to hang on so you don't have to wear it the whole time. Because helmets, if you wear them all the time, I don't know if you know this, but if you wear a combat helmet for a long time, it hurts. It really does give you... Are you okay? Am I embarrassing you today? Thank you for volunteering for embarrassment. I appreciate it. All right, so... Yeah, I kind of do. I use it for a costume. So, all right. Yes, no, I don't do that in my free time. I do the research and all the stuff, yeah. So, here's the deal. We know what the belt is for now, right? Everything that a soldier is going to need out in the field to survive has to be carried. And he carried a lot of that stuff on his belt. And what is the belt? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Did you know that there were only certain people in the Roman, who were Romans that had belts? Belts were a status symbol. Because if you were poor, you didn't have anything you needed to carry on a belt. So these foot soldiers would get these things. You were someone if you had a belt. I mean, if we all went back in the day and we all showed up with our belts on, man, we'd be rich. Right? I'm telling you, man, we're rich. We don't even know it sometimes. Here's another thing about putting stuff on your belt. I experienced this morning when I sat down to have my breakfast in my chair at the table. Every chair at my table, except for my chair and Leah's chair, has no arms on it. My chair has arms on it, and Leah's chair has arms on it because it's at the ends of the table, right? So I go to sit down at my chair at the table. It's got arms on it, and guess what happens? I get caught in the arms. Well, I don't get caught. The stuff on my belt gets caught. What else happens? The arm of the chair is like pushing in on this side of me or pushing this on this side of me. It gets really uncomfortable. Did you have something? Just doing your hair. Okay. Here's the thing. Sometimes the truth can be very uncomfortable. Especially when it puts pressure up against the things that you have been given in your life to survive and to win the battles. I don't think it's a mistake that Paul put the belt first. I think if we really thought about it, everything really starts with the belt. You know what else the belt did for the Roman soldiers? It tied things up. Because sometimes when you're active and running, those cloaks can get an updraft. Yeah, they could be used for injuries and things like that. They have a lot of uses. Belts, this is a pretty cool thing, isn't it? Yeah. So there's so much that comes with a belt, doesn't it? Another thing here is that it says in our scripture that the belt is used for girding. Girding the loins. What does it mean to gird the loins? Tightening up. Tightening up what? Anyone ever wear a girdle? Huh? No, they still got them. Yeah. What does a girdle do? Compresses and tightens things. So guess what the belt does? It compresses and tightens things too. I mean, it'll hold down your tunic so that when you're running into battle, you're not having to deal with everything flapping around everywhere. It'll keep air from getting in behind and doing whatever. I don't know. I don't wear tunics a whole lot. Ever. I have never worn a tunic. Maybe when I was a child and I was doing like one of the old like Christmas plays or something. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. And shepherds would not have had belts. No. Here's the thing. There's so much that a belt does. There's so much that truth does. And we also talked about how some folks were shorter, so they'd get a shorter belt. Some people were taller, and they'd get a taller belt. Some people had more to carry, so they'd get a stronger belt. Some people were poorer and couldn't afford a nicer belt and got a less nice belt. I mean, we've dealt with that, guys. Some of us, we went out and bought a belt, and we're like, oh, yeah, this will be great, and then it lasted 5 minutes. And then we got another one that looked like it would last 5 minutes, and it's still going 5 years later. Where am I going with this? You all are wondering. Where is he going? When is he going to wrap this thing up? Well, here's my finally. Truth is not relative. Truth is not relative. A belt is a belt is a belt. A belt is a belt is a belt. Truth is truth that is truth. Okay? And here's the reality. Some of us, we don't know as much truth as others. Maybe because we haven't studied as much. Maybe we haven't digested the Bible as much. Maybe we don't have as close of a relationship with Christ. And so some of us may not know as much truth as others. But that doesn't mean that what you believe is right just because you haven't figured out what is true. Does that make sense? Some of us have been Christians for a long time. We've read a lot of scripture. We've done a lot of study. Some of us have, I mean, I studied on pants. That was interesting. But here's the thing. We end up knowing more truth that comes with wisdom, comes with time, comes with study. You learn more truth when you learn more about the truth giver. And the stronger your faith is, the stronger and more truth that you know, the more tools you can carry. So, if you're living your life and you're outside of truth, you probably don't have a very strong belt. Some of you are wondering why God isn't using you. Maybe you haven't studied enough for knowing the truth. Maybe there's something in you that's being, you have pride that's keeping you from seeing the truth. Maybe it's something that you've grown up with your whole life and you think it's the right way. Guess what? It ain't true. Just because something is old doesn't mean that it's true. Also, just because something is old doesn't mean it's not true. How do we determine truth? How do we decide what is true? Well, there is that. That's something that's biblical. So, if I was to say that this person did this thing and someone else came along and confirmed that, biblically speaking, that would be true. But in that context, they would have to be saying that before God, and that's not a good idea. If it aligns with God's word, it's true. Yeah. What's that? Sure. Can I come back on that one real quick? Some miracles are true. Some miracles are deception. I want to tell you the most important truth that I want you guys to take away with yourselves today. Is God good enough? This is the truth. God is good enough. Everything else in this world could fall apart. If you have faith in the Lord, it's good enough. Having that as truth in your life, having that to be firm and strong, is the beginning of truth. Do you have talents? Do you have skills? Do you have abilities? Do you have all this? Do you have these things? Well, here's the thing. If it's not attached to truth, if it's not on your belt, when you go into spiritual battle, it's not there for you. Some of y'all are going to go into battle unequipped. Not because you ain't talented, but because you haven't submitted that thing to God. You haven't submitted that to the truth. There's a lot of great artists out there. There's a lot of great talent out there. There was a one of my favorite bands of all time, Christian bands. This week, one of those individuals put out a statement that he'd been living a double life for a very, very long time. This week. I mean, the announcement came out from the band 2 weeks ago, but his statement came out this week. DC Talk. I'll tell you, I mean, it's social media. Michael Tate. So this poor guy spent the first part of his life developing himself to become a strong believer in Christ, only to fall to temptation, living a double life. Basically the second half of his life, once he became popular, once he became famous. Fame has a way of doing that sometimes. Yeah, he was a singer. He was also the lead man for the Newsboys. After Peter Furler left. Gentlemen like Michael Tate did not attach his talents, skills, and life to truth. He lived a double life. That is the definition of lacking truth. My ending statement is this. Simply this. Nobody has their own truth. Instead, there is only one truth. People may have a different measure of truth that is available, that they have on themselves at this time. But that doesn't mean that that needs to stay that way. You can grow in understanding of what the truth is, who God is. And in doing so, you become more able to be equipped. The armor of God is available to everyone, and it's tailor-made for you. The question is, first of all, the questions are this: are you going to put it on? The second question is this: are you going to let it be small for your whole life, or are you going to grow it? Does that make sense to you guys? If I'm not making sense, I want to make sense. So you tell me right now. Okay? God's armor is tailor-made to you. And you can go out and fight with a belt that's 6 inches long. That's fine. But don't stay that way. You could be a super effective person ministering with a 6-inch belt, because that's all that you've been equipped with thus far. But don't stay there. Know more. Learn more. Read more. Get together with other people who know are stronger believers. Equip yourself. Be ready to be equipped more. I could do a lot more, and I still have 2 hours. No? All right, I have to honor my father-in-law. He says no. Will you stand with me today And we could all thank my father-in-law, David Hardwick, for having me in the service today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you have made this armor available to us. This is spiritual armor. And you've made it so that it's tailor-made, sized for the size of our spirit and the strength that we have in you. Lord, some of us, our armor is tiny. But we're effective. I pray that we would grow. Some of us are, we have big, big armor, and we've got big, big belts. And Lord, I pray that we would commit everything in our lives to you. Every talent you've given us, every skill that you've given us. Lord, I pray that we would honor you with it. In spirit and in truth. Lord, as we leave this place, we celebrate fathers. I want to thank you for being our Heavenly Father, for providing for us a way that we can spend eternity with you, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, as we leave this place today, that there will be opportunities for us to share the truth with others. I pray, Lord God, that you would give us the words to say. Holy Spirit, that you would come in as that wind and fire into our lives and speak through us, Lord. I thank you for all you are and all you're going to do and all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Call your dads and have a great rest of your day. See you next week.